Thank you for being with us again tonight as we have these studies of Feed Your Faith. We've been looking throughout this time at the fact that the Hebrew writer points out the fact it is necessary for us to have that faith. Well, without faith, it is impossible to please Him, speaking of God. And so we recognize that faith is essential for the salvation of our soul, for the ongoing of one who is faithful to God. Faith or trust, an absolute belief that Jesus indeed is our Lord, that we must indeed follow what He says. Those things are essential to our lives spiritually before God. And the faith that we get, that trust or reliance upon God, comes, Paul says in Romans chapter 10 and in verse 17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So if we're going to have that faith, it depends on the testimony that we find from the Holy Spirit as He inspired these messages given in the New Testament, as we recognize the gospel of Christ. We want to talk about that a little bit more, of how those are united together, the hearing of that word and the faith of the individual, how that is necessary for us to be acceptable in God's sight. We remember from Hebrews chapter 10 the point that we've made several times. Here the writer talking about the fact, as he introduces the great hall of fame of faith in Hebrews chapter 11, he talks about the fact that the ones who are going to have that promise or receive the promise are those that endure patiently doing the will of God even to the end. He says, just like he did to Habakkuk, and the Hebrew writer quotes from Habakkuk here, the just shall live by faith. In other words, it's not a momentary thought or acceptance of an idea, but it is a life that in trust of God is going to do what God has commanded him to do. The point that's made, if one goes back on that, he draws back unto perdition. But the Hebrew writer says, but of those who believe to the saving of the soul, that's what we are. We're not of the ones going back to perdition, but of those that believe unto the saving of the soul. That idea is that it is a continuing faith, a life of faith, a reliance that continues in God and trust in Him in all that He said. In other words, that faith that saves is a faith that obeys. It's changed from the heart, from the mind of man, as God testifies to us of what we ought to do. And the Holy Spirit declares the will that is of God. As Jesus gives that new covenant, as He promised, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, we have God dwelling in us, or Christ dwelling in us, the Spirit dwelling in us, as His testimony is there and takes over in our life. It reorders our thinking, our priorities, and our will. And so that is the concept of what needs to be done. Last night, we looked a bit at Hebrews chapter 3, where there he talks about the Hebrews as they came up out of Egypt, then went into the wilderness, that only two, Joshua and Caleb, came to be in that promised land, though that was the intent when they left Egypt. They had been freed from captivity, but once and again, they acted in a way that was against God's will. They did not have a faith and trust in Him. They murmured against Him. They did that which was rebellious in His sight. And as a result of that, that generation, the first one to come out of Egypt, all died in the wilderness except for those two faithful men of Joshua and Caleb. Everyone else that passed away out there passed away because they did not receive Him in a way of faith, of acting according to God's will. That idea of not acting according to His will is given as failure to believe and failure to obey. Why? Because the Hebrew writer's point is that saving faith obeys. That which is not a saving faith is that which does not continue in obedience. He talks about that evil heart of unbelief and turning away from God that is hardened by sin. But he says, you need to be ones who are partakers of Christ if you hold the beginning of your confidence steadfast to the end. Or, as it's pointed out in verses 16 through 19, those who went out from Egypt, They all died. Why? Because God was angry with them. They sinned. Their corpses fell in the wilderness. And then in verses 18 and 19, to whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest, but to those who did not obey? Then verse 19, so we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. You see how the two of those are parallel? It's not intending to say anything different. How do you know they didn't believe? Because they did not obey. How is it you know that there was a lack of obedience? Well, I looked at the things that were said. It didn't match up with what God said. If one is going to trust God and what he says, then he'll do that. He'll obey. So a failure to obey is a failure to truly have that faith unto the saving of the soul. And we'll want to consider one more part of that, and that's in Hebrews chapter 4 in verses 1 and 2, and then notice an example of this. There the Hebrews writer says, therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it. For indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them. But the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. Now what happened? He talks about these people of the Old Testament, these Jews who came out of Egyptian captivity. When they came out, there was a message of good news. That's what the word gospel literally means, is good news. They were made free. They were no longer under that slavery. So it was a gospel that was preached to them. And that gospel, he parallels the word which they heard. Now, they had heard the message that God preached. Why is it that God did not ultimately bring them to be delivered? Was it God's fault that they were not saved? No, he says, but the word which they heard did not profit them. Was it the word's fault? No. Not being what? Not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. There's the problem. God's word is given to every man. Jesus told his disciples in Mark 16 and verse 15, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. Does not believe will be condemned. The gospel is preached to all. In Colossians chapter 1, that's what the Apostle Paul affirms, is in that first century it was preached to all the world. That message is intended to be a message of salvation, a message of hope, a message that has to do with that which is of good news. Why is it not good news for some? Well, the reason it's not good news for some is it isn't united with faith in their heart. And as a result of that, they hear the message, but disregarding it, do not obey the message of the gospel. That happened with the Jews who came out of Israel or came out of Egypt. And it happens with people today if they hear the gospel and will not respond. We looked at that a great deal from James chapter 1 and other passages that show the fact that we cannot be hearers of the word only, but we must be doers. Let's see an example of some people who heard a message, even knew what it meant, but in the end were not right with God. What would judge them in the end? In John chapter 12, Jesus is here speaking to a crowd. And it tells us a little bit as they started out, how these rulers among the Pharisees, how they viewed him, some of them. In verse 42, nevertheless, even among the rulers, many believed in him, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess it, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. For they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. Then Jesus cried out and said, he who believes in me believes not in me, but in him who sent me. And he who sees me sees him who sent me. I have come as a light into the world, that whoever believes in me should not abide in darkness. And if anyone hears my words and does not believe, I do not judge him, for I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. He who rejects me and does not receive my words has that which judges him. The word that I have spoken will judge him in the last day. What was the message being proclaimed? Well, the message being proclaimed by Jesus was to show them who he was. In verse 42, it says, even some of the rulers believed in him. In other words, they knew that he was the Messiah. They knew he was who he claimed to be. Why? Well, that's no secret. You can go through the New Testament, read the Gospels, and you can see repeatedly how Jesus worked miracle after miracle after miracle. Some that none had ever seen before. Raising people from the dead, making the blind to see, making those who were deaf to hear, making those who were lame to walk, making those who had a demon possessed to be free from it. You can go on and on with that. Who could do that? Well, no one could do that unless they had the favor of God. Those miracles were given to confirm the word that was spoken, to show that it indeed was from God. So here are these rulers, and they see that, obviously. Some of them could see enough to recognize he must be the Christ. Now what happened? He says, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. In other words, since these Pharisees ruled that, and they would throw them out of their synagogue if they confessed that faith, then they kept quiet. They wouldn't confess that Jesus is the Christ. What did Jesus say? If you deny me, I'll deny you. If you'll confess me, I'll confess you before my Father in heaven. But if we would not confess him, Christ said he would not confess us before the Father. So one must do that. I wonder why they did that. Verse 43, they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. Now, folks, these people were believers in the sense that they believed who Jesus was. They had mentally accepted the fact that, yes, he is the Christ. Yes, God must approve him, but they would not confess that. And the reason that they love the praise of men more than the praise of God, does that sound like someone who is saved? Well, of course not. These people are not saved. They understand mentally a fact. They accept that, but that's not saving faith. Saving faith is that which confesses the Christ, trusts in him, and does what is his will. So Jesus speaks to them. They recognized who he was from God. And he said, when you recognize that and you believe in me, you don't believe just in me, but in him who sent me. In other words, God the Father. And having looked to God the Father, they see that. And he says, I came into the world as a light in the world. Why did he come as a light? That whoever believes in me should not abide in darkness. The darkness that he's talking about is that which is against the will of God. The sin, the ungodliness that was present in the world. Jesus points out the fact back in chapter 3 that he was the light that came into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light. Therefore, they did not accept him. They did not follow him. So here, he's the one that comes to draw them out of that darkness to the light that is found of God. He says, now, if anyone hears my words and does not believe, I do not judge him. In other words, Jesus, the person. He says, for I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. That's the reason he came into it. Now, does that say he's not going to judge anyone in the personal sense? But notice what he says. He who rejects me and does not receive my words has that which judges him. Well, what's the thing that judges him when one does not receive the words? He says, the words that I have spoken will judge him in the last day. In other words, what Jesus stated of his gospel. It's good news for those who will be obedient. It's good news for the one who will accept it, turn their mind, have their will reoriented according to what God has said, and then be obedient to that. It's good news to them. It is bad news to those who will not. Because the word, he said, that I give you will judge you in the last day. You see, some have the idea that Jesus is just one who is out here who would never disregard anyone, never have anyone to be lost, because he says, I came to save the world, not to condemn it. It's true. But he gave the will of God. God's standards of who he is, they do not change because I reject them, or you reject them, or the majority rejects them. God's standards are a part of who he is. And therefore, his character calls upon us to not live in darkness, but to live in the light. That which is the truth and right of God. That which is according to his justice, his truth, his love. All of those characteristics of God are laid out in his gospel. And when we refuse to adopt his will and maintain our own, that of the god of this world, Satan, then that word judges us. You see, in the end, the one who is going to be lost forever cannot blame God and say, you made me do it. We pointed that out before in James chapter 1. Let no one say when he is tempted, I'm tempted of God. For God is not tempted with evil, and he himself tempts no man. That's not what happens. Satan tempts us to do the evil. How do we overcome that evil? By letting God change our mind. By being those who unite the word together with the faith that is in us. As a result of that, what do? We follow according to his will. Now, when we do that, then what are we doing? We're making our own decision. You see, the fact is, if I'm lost or you're lost, God isn't the one who made me to be lost. I decided to. I decided to continue on in a path of life that is what the devil would have me to do, rather than what God would have me to do. What God has given is in every way a way that should get to our heart and cause us to have a trust in him. Can you imagine that from eternity past, as God chose to make man and put him into this world, he had a gospel in mind. And that gospel in mind was that someone, his son, had to come and die on a cross, that we could be forgiven of sins. Why? Because God wanted all men to come to repentance. His desire was for all to be saved. And as Jesus came into this world, that's the very point that he fulfilled. He was that promised one from Abraham through whom all nations of the earth would be blessed. He did his part exactly. He didn't have to die for himself. He had not sinned. But he needed to die for us. And he willingly did so. When I decide I will spurn that message and spurn that invitation and do away with that great grace that was given to me in Jesus Christ, I make up my own mind that I don't want to be with God. Surely, we need to recognize the great need that we have to latch hold of that message of the word, to let it sink deep into our heart, to trust in God and be obedient to his will. We're going to notice some characters in the word of God. But I want you to notice this idea of those who were there. They did not come to the word. Why? Because they were ones that was not mixed with faith. We're going to look at one who did mix it with faith. That's the faith of Moses. Tomorrow evening, the Lord willing, we'll look at him and see some characteristics of a life of faith. And we'll follow that in this series by looking at some others as well, Old Testament and New, that we can see as characters of faith and what it takes to be one. Hope you'll join us tomorrow evening at 7:30 if you can. May God bless you. May you have a good night.